Blog Talk Radio.
UGS Radio is not intended for anyone under the age of 18 years old. We reserve the right to say whatever the fuck we want to say because we believe in free speech. And if you do not believe in free speech...
Get the fuck out of here, you stupid cocksucker!
For rap music's biggest online archive of legends and pioneer interviews as well as underground music from around the globe, visit us now at UGSforLife.com.
Yeah! President Beta! Murder Master Music! Welcome to the Murder Master Music Show today. This right here is where the real rap at. A fuck pilot. We doing what we love just to hear it play back. Play back. This is where the real is at.
The Young Castro from the Outlaw.
It's your boy Al Capone.
What's that? And it's Bootleg the Rock Capone from the Dayton family.
Baby, this is your boy Al Capone.
What up, y'all? This is Keyshawn.
Yo, 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 what's up? This is your boy C-Murder, and I'm chilling with my boy Scott Beta, and you're listening to the Murder Master Music Show. It's the hottest thing out right now, you heard me? Keep it true.
Episode 83 of the Murder Master Music Show, and we got a returning guest tonight. This is the true pioneer of Memphis rap, period. The one, the only, Gangster Pat. I'm going to bring him on in a minute. I just want to stress the fact that, you know what I'm saying, that dude was the first motherfucker that I heard of from Memphis. First CD I bought, I believe, was All About Coming Up, but he had already had the number one suspect out prior to that release, you know, which was, I bought that in 92, All About, or number one suspect came out in 91. I didn't hear about 8-Ball MJG until, end of 93. And when I heard about them, you know what I'm saying, they was already down in Texas. I naturally assumed they were from Texas. You know what I'm saying? Crime Boss and all them dudes was with them. So I didn't really associate 8-Ball, you know what I'm saying, and then with Memphis until a couple years later. Because I wasn't from the Memphis scene. I didn't know they put out, you know, Lyrics of a Pimp and all shit like that. As far as 3-6 goes, you know what I'm saying? They was putting out little underground tapes and stuff later on, but I didn't hear nothing from them until Mystic Styles. You know what I'm saying? Being from the Shy, that's when I first heard them, was Mystic Styles. The first time I heard my brother Al Capone was Sinister Funk. That was 94. I actually heard Al Capone before, you know what I'm saying, 3-6 Mafia. You know what I'm saying? I heard about Skinny Pimp before 3-6 Mafia, you know what I'm saying? People down in Kentucky, they were bumping Skinny Pimp. You know, but, you know, I'm not sitting here to try to fucking say who started what or who did this and that. I just like to point out, you know what I'm saying, who I feel, from my experience, who the pioneer of Memphis is. And I'm going to tell you why. Two reasons. Not just because I went to the record store and bought a CD, but this was the first motherfucker that had a major deal, you know what I'm saying, Atlantic Records. You know what I'm saying? Put Memphis on the map back in 1991. That's it. And what makes me, man, the reason why I'm speaking about it, ain't nobody giving this man the props that he deserves. Ain't nobody doing that. None of you fucking DJs, none of you fucking websites, you hip-hop sites, you guys ain't giving no fucking props. You're just talking about Juicy J being trippy, man. That dude is a Juicy J is a fucking joke. You know what I'm saying? Not in defense of 3-6 or anybody, you know, but, I mean, how do you go from making devil shit to being trippy, man? Fuck him. I'm not even going to talk about him. But I do want to get a clown situation out of the way before I bring on my guest real quick. This motherfucking disrespectful punk-ass bitch who does a lame-ass, you know what I'm saying, screwed and chopped music, which ain't nowhere near the originator DJ Screw. This dude's called, I'm not even going to say his real name, I'm going to say the name that I give him. His name is DJ Gay Sex. You know what I'm saying? The reason why he's called DJ Gay Sex, because he's a fucking faggot. But he also goes by the name of DJ Six Dicks, because he can fit six dicks in his motherfucking mouth. All I have to say to you is...
Fuck you!
And...
Fuck your mother!
You son of a bitch, because I know you... Fucking faggot. Fuck him. I'm not even going to waste no more time with him. Tonight we got a hell of a show. We got Gangster Pat returning. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to bring him on right now. We're going to debut his album, his EP, you know what I'm saying, live from Black Haven, right here live on the Murder Master Music Show. What up, Pat?
What's going on, Prez? You the man?
Man, how you been, brother? Man, I'm so happy you put out this fucking release, dog.
Man, I've been blessed, man, to be able to be in the game as long as I have and then still have people that's willing to give your music a listen. I mean, that's just a blessing within itself. I'm just honored to be able to do an album at this stage of my career and still get love from it, man. So, you know, I'm good all the way around, man.
Yeah, man, definitely, you know what I'm saying? I had to make sure, you know what I'm saying, from a fan standpoint to, you know, let people know what my fucking thoughts are about, you know what I'm saying, how I heard about Memphis. It just sickens me. And it's not just you, Pat. You're not, you know, there's a lot of motherfuckers in the boat with you, JT Money. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Esham, even though Esham's kind of going in another direction, but he don't get his props.
Yeah.
Fucking Spice One, you hardly ever see him get his props. I can go on and on and on. But how do you cope with that, knowing that you helped give birth or actually helped create something, and these motherfuckers ain't giving you your fucking props?
Well, see, the way I deal with it, I compare it to this, man. I mean, think about Martin Luther King, man. I mean, he made such a big change in history. You got a lot of kids that don't even know who the hell what he did, you know, for black people, but for people in general, for their rights and stuff like that. So when I think about how large of a scale that's on, my situation looks like micro-mini compared to that. So, you know, that's one way I cope with it. And another way I cope with it, I understand that a lot of these brothers that jump into the game, they don't do no research. That's why it used to be like maybe 10 or 12 artists that had major deals in Memphis. Now it's narrowed down to less than four. Because if you don't know where it comes from, then you don't know where to go with it and know where to take it. And once they get their little 5 minutes of fame, they don't know what direction to go in. They just doing whatever they think people like, and they get their little arrogance, and they get caught up in their own little world, man. And they don't help other brothers eat, and that's why Memphis is in the state that it's in now. So, I mean, it's a lot of stuff I can compare my situation to, but I'm in it for the love of the music first and foremost, you know, and the people that do support me, I focus on them. As far as all them knuckleheads that don't know their history, don't know who started this, really in my head, they don't even exist to me, because if I focus on them, I stay depressed, man. You know what I'm saying? Because it gets depressing when you've done so much for a city and then don't even get no recognition. So I just try to block them out. And I focus on showing love back to the people that do know the history and do know who started and who contributed a lot to this city, man. And that's the way I deal with it, you know. Yo, Chris, you still there?
Yeah, you hear me, bro?
Yeah. When you blanked out for a minute, I can hear you now, though.
Yeah, what I was saying was, that's good, man, because all that you've done is set in stone and solidified. It's out there. All people got to do is look for it. Just like with DJ Ready Red, a lot of people, when they associate the Ghetto Boys, they don't remember that he was a founding member. You know what I'm saying? But it's set in stone. If you go type in, you know what I'm saying, Ghetto Boys, Grip It On That Other Level, you're going to see his picture. You know what I'm saying? You're going to see his production credits. And, you know, same thing with you. You type in Gangster Pat, a whole shitload of stuff is going to come up. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, but it's got to make you feel good, though, that people all over the world, you know what I'm saying, are still wanting your music, still demanding your music, you know what I'm saying, all these years later. You know, it's got to make you feel hella relevant, man, and hella appreciated.
Man, that's a blessing, man. Like I said, to be able to I came in the game in like 90, 91 when it wasn't even cool to be a rapper from Memphis. I mean, there's a lot of times we went and did shows, and once we let people know where we're from, man, we got all kind of negative feedback, you know. So, I mean, we fought through it, man. We made it possible for an 8-Ball and MJG to shine, a 3-6 Mafia to shine, because at once upon a time, people didn't want to accept rappers that was, you know, from Memphis. You know, they'll accept them from Texas or Florida, but Memphis, they associated Memphis with being country and Elvis Presley and all that. They didn't want to hear no rappers come out of there, but we got out there and we fought and we stood toe-to-toe and we made it cool to be a rapper from Memphis. But it's like when other rappers come up and they, you know, they get caught up. They never look back and think about, you know, who built the concrete that they standing on. It's just like people drive across the Mississippi Bridge every day. Nobody thinks about who built the bridge that's helping me get from Tennessee to Arkansas. You know what I'm saying? They just use the bridge for what it's worth, and they keep pushing. So, I mean, I that's why I say I focus on the fans that do know. And the ones that don't know, they if you call yourself a fan of something and you don't research it, then to me, you ain't nobody a dick rider anyway. You know what I'm saying? I don't even focus on them. They don't even exist to me, you know?
That's real shit. And then you got to think about it. With the 7.5 billion people on the planet, 7.4.9 billion of them are dick riders. You know, they're sheep. You know, and that's what it is. You get some new dude that come out, and all he has to do is say, okay, I started this, and he's automatically going to get followers, you know.
Yeah. Or if he say, well, I'm the king of this. You know, those are, when people say they the king of Memphis, to me, that's a self-proclaimed title.
Yeah.
The people have to name you the king. And then in the industry, there are always several kings. So I don't even claim to be the king or nothing. I don't even want that title. But I do know this, everybody had their time to shine. And what's most important to me is when you in that position to where you at the top of the hill, man, pull some people up. Because, you know, I pull some legendary artists in the game. I know I pull A-Ball and MJG in. You know, I inspired Tila and 3-6 and a lot of them. They probably never, you'll never hear them say it, but deep in their heart, they know that I was the first ticket in town that they could learn from, that they could actually talk to and touch and question. I mean, you know, DJ Paul used to come knock on my door at 6 o'clock in the morning, you know what I'm saying, trying to get knowledge about the game. Because if people came to me, I would talk to them. I didn't play that, oh, I'm a rap star, y'all bag up. That was never in me, man, because, like I said, I'm in it for the music. I'm not in it for the shine or the females or none of that. It's strictly the love of music, you know what I'm saying? So I always talk to them guys and told them everything I knew and what I was going through, so they learned from my mistakes. So they supposed to come out and do better than me. They supposed to, because they can take what I know and put what they know with it and make it twice as better. You know, and I don't knock them for that, you know.
What was DJ Paul like back then? I mean, how old was he? You were only like 16, 17, so he had to be, what, 15, 14?
Yeah, he was younger than me, man. He was just a little kid. He used to ride a skateboard up to the record shop. You know what I'm saying? And you know, we both were from Whitehaven. So he would see me out doing my thing. And, you know, he would ask a lot of questions and really want to know. But honestly, if I had known he had the business savvy that he had, man, I would have pulled him on board. But back then, I was a kid. I didn't know what I was doing. I was just chasing a dream, man. So the sad part about it is people don't realize that when you're in a position, they think you can just pull them in and help them. But it's not like that. And I'm sure all those guys that used to come to me know that feeling now, because they're in a position to when people think they can just pull them in, and they really can't, because, you know, the streets talk. Oh, man, you know, I bumped into a Ball. He sold me some dreams. He ain't called me back. Man, Ball probably got a million things to do. I mean, you know, people still trying to eat and trying to, you know, excel their career and stuff like that. So you just can't help everybody. And see, they held that against me, but then I hear stories about them doing people the same way. So, you know, but they still got that grudge against me because I was the first ticket. When you're the first ticket in town, you a target for everybody. I was that target, you know. So I can deal with that. I ain't mad at that, man. I don't let it hinder me. You know what I'm saying? I just keep doing what I do.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you had to deal with a lot. I mean, your father was famous. You was on the road with him. You know, And you survived. You survived a shooting, you know, which cost the life of the CEO at the time. Can you talk a little bit about that for the listeners?
Oh yeah. We was riding down Beale Street, man, and you know he had some beef, you know, prior to that. You know, just so much going on at the time, man. And somebody just drove up beside us and opened fire. I got shot in the head. He got shot in the head twice, but my wound really didn't penetrate my skull, but his wound went straight through the temple and straight behind the ear, you know, and shit, man, he literally died in my lap, you know. I had blood all over my lap, and I'm sitting there watching him with his brains blowed out, you know. So, and to this day, anytime I hear gunshots, man, if I ain't got my strap, you know, I'm ducking, because, you know, that stuff play over in your mind 1,000 times, man. So it was pretty rough for me back then because I was so young, you know what I'm saying, but I didn't let it stop my dream. But if he had still been living, man, I know we would have went straight to the top, because that was my homie. He was out for my best interest. You know, he had plenty of money, so we, that wouldn't have been no issue. But everything happened for a reason. I leave that, you know, in the hands of the higher power, man. But that was a tragic experience for me. But you know, you learn from things. Like, whatever don't kill you, make you stronger, man.
Yeah, real shit, man. Yeah, you put out that documentary, man, which I you know, you just put it out there for people to see on YouTube. You know, I think a lot of collectors would appreciate if you put that on DVD. You got plans to do something like that in the future?
Oh, definitely, man, definitely. As a matter of fact, I got somebody working on the cover for it right now, man. You're right, I definitely got to get some hard copies out there because there's so many people that need to see it that don't be on the Internet, don't be on YouTube, but they still like good documentaries. So that's in the making. I should have been did it, but that's in the making for sure.
Yeah, definitely. You know, well, shit, man. You said you got somebody working on the cover. You ever need graphics in the future, man? I got the baddest motherfucker on the team. This dude is just straight beast with it. You know what I'm saying? So, you'll get at me if you need it. But I'm gonna play the first song off of the EP. You know what I'm saying? Live from Black Haven, man. Why don't you introduce it for me?
All right, this is I Put My City On. Off the EP, Live from Black Haven, by your boy Gangsta Pat, right here on the Murder Master Music Show.
These niggas want me out of the scene, so they can call themselves a king. But it can only happen if I get it. And they ain't never gave me my credit. And it's the motherfucking thanks I get for what? For kicking the door down with the gangsta shit. I'm from the Black Haven Zone. I didn't put on for my city, I put my city on. Guess who's back? The nigga that they wanted out. It's time to tell them what this Memphis shit is all about. And I really don't give a fuck if you like it or not. These niggas trying to rewrite history with an evil plot. Yeah, erase my name from the rap game. I never make it to the Memphis Music Hall of Fame. Why? These people hate me in this city. And even the niggas I help put on ain't even fucking with me. But you ain't got to, my niggas, cause I fuck with myself. And I'ma stay true to the game until my last breath. Yeah. Too bad you couldn't do the same. Forgot about your friends and sold your soul for the fame. Damn. Them niggas crossed the whole crew out. And if you would've signed with them, they would've crossed you out. You run into them in the street, then they speak it. The more you help niggas, they take your kindness for weakness.
These niggas want me out of the scene, so they can call themselves a king. But it can only happen if I get it. And they ain't never gave me my credit. And it's the motherfucking thanks I get for what? For kicking the door down with the gangsta shit. I'm from the Black Haven Zone. I didn't put on for my city, I put my city on. I put my city on the map and got no thanks for that. And I don't need a gangsta grill, nigga, I'm Gangsta Pat. The first rapper from Memphis out the Black Haven Zone. The one that built the foundation these niggas standing on. Yeah, it turned the whole city against me. It dropped shit on my name throughout the industry. But I stayed strong through the rain and the pain. They really tried their best to kick me out the game. But I'm still here, and I'm still revving that gangsta shit. I'm still keeping that knot in my lap, and I'm ready to bang a bitch. Yeah, cause you fuck niggas be with the shit. And if you don't remind these niggas, then they'll forget who I am and what I did for the city. No matter how much I do, they still treat me shitty. So I just keep my head up and stay about my grind. I never let you fuck niggas stop me from getting mine.
Call themselves a king, but it can only happen if I get it. And they ain't never gave me my credit. And it's the motherfucking thanks I get for what? For kicking the door down with this gangsta shit. I'm from the Black Haven Zone. I didn't put on for my city, I put my city on. Guess it's time to start all over from square one. I'ma hit this shit one more again and then I'm done. I'ma always put my grind way before my shine. These niggas ain't fucking with me, I was before my time. I was 16 when I hit the scene. A little dusty ass nigga chasing big dreams. And I fucked around and hit a lick. But I didn't know the game came with so much bullshit.
brought so many fake hoes and fake friends. And then they pull disappearing acts when the shit ends. Yeah, I helped a lot of niggas in this game. And when they do they interviews, they never say my name. You know how long I carried this shit? Now I done got it off my chest, I can bury this shit. There's only one thing left for me to say. I'ma rep this Memphis shit until they put me in my grave.
That's what the fuck I'm talking. I needed to hear that shit. I really, really fucking needed to hear that shit. If you guys want to get it, you got to go to fucking iTunes right now. You know what I'm saying? Type in Gangsta Pat. You know what I'm saying? Live from Black Haven. Man, that's what I'm talking about. The last thing you put out, I believe, prior to that was the Dro. I had the pleasure to review that fucking classic.
Yeah, appreciate it.
But this here, man, this here is... Man, EP, just straight five bangers, man. No skits, nothing. And it's only $3.99. I mean, who the fuck can't afford $3.99? You know what I'm saying? Chicago, that's not even half a pack of cigarettes right there. You know, that's not even a gallon of milk. So,
yeah.
You know, that's definitely... now, that song right there, we was just talking about that. Put My City On, man. You really let some feelings out in that song about... You know what I'm saying? What you've gone through as an artist, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Was it difficult for you to make that song, or you just go in there and knock that shit out?
Man, actually, that's one of the easiest songs I had the opportunity to write because the story had played over my mind so many times, and it's just like writing a story, just putting it in rhyme form, man. I should have did a record like that, but, I mean, you know, everything happened for a reason. I feel now is a great time, you know, far as where I am in my career. I hadn't had a record out in 9 years, so what better, what better song to come back with than that song right there that kind of just expresses how I really feel inside, man. Anytime you pour your heart into something, man, you know, if it's real, people going to feel it regardless. Whether they like you or not, they can't deny a heartfelt record, man, for sure.
And you know, the fans, man, the Gangsta Pat fans, they're gonna hear this EP, just like myself. They're gonna be like, you know what? What's next? They're gonna want that full album, man. Is that in the works?
Oh man, it's in the making, man. I'm trying to get these last little features on here so I can go ahead and wrap it up. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, it's definitely in the making. It's definitely coming, man. It's gonna be strong, man, for sure. I'm excited about it, no doubt.
Oh, hell yeah, definitely. Well, you know, in the first decade or so of your career, you put out so many releases. I mean, you got one hell of a catalog, you know what I'm saying? After Return of the Number One Suspect, you didn't put nothing out for a while. Then after The Dro, you didn't put nothing out to this. Why did you take those periods of time off?
Well, honestly, to tell you the truth, I felt like I wasn't making it, man. You know what I'm saying? Because mm-hmm. It's like, you don't really know how the fans look at you. You hear some stuff, it's like negative news travel faster than positive news. And it's just, honestly, I just felt like I would never make it. I could never get with the right label, could never get the right promotional plan. I hadn't had stuff on the radio in years, you know what I'm saying? I just felt like, well, maybe I'm wasting my time here. You know, all that stuff started to play in your head and you start to doubt yourself. You start to believe the negative stuff and ignore the positive stuff. And that's what stress and frustration do to you. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I just found other stuff to do, man. And people was like, man, you gotta put some more stuff out. And in my mind, I'm thinking, yeah, so I can get caught up with another bullshit label and the shit they end up eating and I'm starving, you know. I'm honestly, man, just now getting to the point in the game the last few years, like, well, I say back to 2009, 2008, and those years where I was just really figuring out how to get the real money out this game, because all those other albums, I never really got compensated for them. I mean, I got a little show money here and there, but royalties, man, I always got the jacked up deals because I never had management. You know what I'm saying? All those deals I worked on myself, you know, especially like back in the early days, I was just a kid out there, you know, going up to record companies trying to negotiate deals, because one thing about being in Memphis trying to do this music industry, man, it's like, 97% of motherfuckers are fraudulent. You know what I'm saying? You can't find a good manager in Memphis. It's like everybody want to be the rapper. You get a manager, and next time, you know, he writing a verse for your record. It's like, okay, well, who's going to handle the business if you in the studio with me trying to get on the mic? You know what I'm saying? So I was going through a lot of that stuff, and I just got frustrated, and I got tired, man. And I was just like, man, fuck it. I never stopped doing music. I just stopped doing the industry. I just stopped doing the industry. I always still made music and you know, made tracks and, you know, I play instruments and stuff like that. So musically, I kept my chops up and kept my creativity sharp, but I just didn't want to deal with the industry no more. I didn't want to put no more records out. I didn't want to, you know, just deal with industry niggas, period, man. I just, because I'm always love music, but I really don't have no love for the industry, you know, industry motherfuckers, because they mostly, especially here in Memphis, they mostly fraudulent, man, you know. And I went to Atlanta thinking, okay, well, maybe I can get a chance to meet some real people, and end up being the same thing. I met some more fraudulent motherfuckers. So I was just fed up with the industry. I just didn't want to be in it no more, man. And if it wasn't for, you know, the fans, I mean, people just calling in, wanting me to do stuff, I probably wouldn't have never put this EP out. I'm just doing this. I ain't doing this for the industry. I'm doing this for the fans, man, you know, strictly for them.
That's it. We fucking appreciate that, man. We definitely do. And I wanted to bring up something else. You mentioned Atlanta. At the time you went down to Atlanta, man, there was no gangster music down there. If there was, it might have been the Hard Boys or Hitman. No, the Hard Boys didn't even come out until 93, if I'm not mistaken.
I think
you might have set shit off down there too, Pat.
Yeah, I worked with the Hard Boys, man. We was all on Itchy Bond Records together.
Yeah.
You know, I was down there before A-Ball and MJG. That's now, honestly, I hit in Atlanta, but they really hit in ATL. You know what I'm saying? Because, like I said, I had already prepped them for it, you know, by getting that Memphis name out there. So when they hit, you know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, yeah. Even though a lot of people thought they were from Houston because they had a Houston city skyline on the back of their album cover, you know. But we had to let them know, nah, they from Memphis, man. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, we was taking music down there way back in 92, 91 when Kilo Ali and Raheem the Dream were running Atlanta, even before Outkast came out, man. We was taking Memphis music down there. We took DJ Squeaky Criminal Man, DJ Zerk, 3-6 Mafia. So a lot of them people got hip to that stuff because we were down there just pushing Memphis music, period. You know what I'm saying? So I remember Atlanta back in the days. It wasn't nothing gangster. It was fast, up-tempo, booty-shaking music. They wore finger waves and high-tech boots. Everybody was trying to go dance on Sharon Showcase. They had these little dance groups, and Arnell Starr was the video man down there. I remember that whole Atlanta scene. I watched the transition, and Memphis had probably Memphis and Miami probably had more to do with their transition than anybody else. That's why nowadays a lot of they rappers sound like Memphis rappers. And the trip part about me is, like, when I was away from the industry, nobody spoke up for Memphis. It took Pimp C to speak up for Memphis when Memphis wouldn't even speak on their own, speak up for themselves. Now, I can say it because I'm from here and I helped build this shit. Memphis be on some bullshit. They on some bullshit right now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
These niggas ain't sticking together. They ain't riding with each other. That's why it was easy for Lil Jon to claim he was the king of crunk. When, honestly, Juicy and Paul and them really, yeah, Al Capone, I credit them for that crunk shit. You know what I'm saying? But they didn't, when Jon claimed it, they didn't even speak up for themselves, man. You know, that kind of pissed me. I'm like, y'all just going to let these cats claim that shit? They ain't going to say shit? But then if somebody from Memphis say anything, they ready to beef with their own. But they ain't ready to beef with nobody else out of town. But if you go to ATL and beef with they niggas, you damn near got to beef with everybody because, you know, they even though they had their own little beef, but they still ride for the A. They still going to throw that A up and represent it, man. But Memphis ain't going to do that shit. They rather go against each other than to ride for their own. And to me, that's some punk shit. That's why I can count on one hand how many Memphis rappers I fuck with. I can't fuck with these cats in Memphis because they on some other shit. They divas, man. They divas, you know? Real talk.
Rap game has turned into some swaggish shit, man, big time. And yeah, we're going to talk about that in a minute. But I'm going to take a caller real quick, and we're going to play the second song off the EP.
Yeah, for sure.
240 in the building.
Yo, what up, cuz?
Yeah, who is this?
What is
this? This is Lex Talionis.
Oh, what's up?
What up, y'all? I want to ask Al Capone. I'm too drunk for this shit. I want to ask Gangsta Pat. Y'all were talking about him. That put it in my head. I want to ask Gangsta Pat, what do you think it would take to get these Memphis rappers on the same page? Like, I think as Sadiddy as fucking Gangsta Boo is, and as, you know, Sadiddy as Juicy J is being, but this Mafia 6 thing could do it. It would take a lot more than that. It would take, you know, DJ Zerk doing a beat on the album. It would take, you know, DJ Squeaky doing a hook.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But do you think, let me ask you this. Do you think that Paul and them would actually bring in these other people?
I don't know. That's hard for me to say because I hadn't talked to DJ Paul in so long, and the last time we were connected, it was on some Anna shit. So I don't know where his head is. I know he came down here and did some stuff with some few people, but I don't know the outcome of it or how far it went. But I don't know, man. It's like Memphis rappers just really don't get along with each other. They don't stick together. There's no unity. And the only way they probably do some shit with each other, it had to be some kind of money's involved. That's probably the only way. If somebody came in, some investor came in, was willing to pay everybody to get together, that's the only way I could see them doing it. Other than that, I can't. If they did do it, it would shock the hell out of me. I'll put it like that. But other than that, I don't see it happening, man, honestly.
That's a good question, though, 2-4. Appreciate you calling in, man.
And
you got another question?
I also wanted to say, I also wanted to thank you for actually putting me on Memphis Rep. I remember back in the day I bought that tape with you with the yellow-ass denim jacket on. And that shit put me on that Memphis Rep.
All about
that's
the
am
first
the way
time
I am now.
All about
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, I appreciate it. Now let me explain to you the history of that right quick about the All About Coming Up record. That was that record right there, and that was what you call an immature move to put that record out, because I was pissed off at Itchy Bone, I was pissed off at Power Records, and I wanted to give them a record that failed. So that record was so far away from what I was normally, you know, what I would normally do. If you think about it, wasn't no cussing in that record. You know what I'm saying?
That record was also very East Coast.
Yeah, it was meant for me to put it out for it not to connect and not to sell, but I shouldn't have never done that because the fans don't know what you go through with a record label, and that was an immature decision on myself, but surprisingly, some people like that record. It shocked the hell out of me. That's why I don't...
Well,
go ahead.
I was 7 years old, cuz, and that shit put me on Memphis Rap.
I just want to say that record, cuz I was one of those fans. You know what I'm saying, where I would go back and try to find your other releases or whatnot. That allowed me to go back and get the number one suspect. So
wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, I get the service purpose anyway, huh?
Yeah, man, definitely. Hey, 240, thanks for calling in, man. Appreciate you, bro.
Yeah, appreciate it, homie.
Yeah, that's what it is right there. Well, we got track number two. I keep my nine with me. Gangsta Pat, man, tell me about this song. Pat, you there?
Yeah, I'm there.
Yeah. Tell me about the second song. I keep my nine with me.
Well, actually, man, it's just a song that comes straight from the heart, because living in Memphis, man, Memphis is a, you know, it's a live, for it to be so small, it's a live city, man, and you got to keep your weapon with you because people have to test you everywhere you go, whether you're a rapper, whether you work a job every day, it don't matter, man. I mean, at any time in Memphis, you could be, you know, up against some people that's trying to do you harm. So it's best to keep your nine with me. So that song is to inspire these cats to keep. If you got a nine, you better keep it with you, man, because you never know when you might have to use it. You know what I'm saying?
Real shit, man. Here it is, right here, Murder Master Music Show.
I never leave the house without my heater. I heat up under my seat when I roll in case I need her. Bullet loaded clip, plus I got one off in the chamber. I bring her extra clip in case I run across some danger. They be pumping they nuts up, especially when it's a lot of them. I pull it clock and cock it back, then I begin to slaughter them. Slaughter them. Run like roaches when you cut the light on. Light on. Red beam, so my aim gon' be right on. I got on Memphis team where the niggas like to test ya. I screw on my suppressor and put them under pressure. If you fuck with me, then I hope the Lord bless ya. Bystanders told detectives I was the aggressor. They snitch into the police and they coming to arrest me. So I hopped in my whip and made a left on where it's pressing. Swerving through the traffic, top speed like a cheetah. I can't go nowhere without my 9mm.
Millimeter.
It's better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it. I keep my 9 with me.
keep my nine with me. I keep my nine with me. I keep my nine with me. Hey, it's better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it. I keep my nine with me. 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 The gun law passed and I don't think I could follow it. I would rather take the chance and plus I got some hollow tips. I don't look for trouble, but it always seems to find me. I don't look for police, but they always get behind me. Behind my tags, looking for reason to fuck with me while I'm rolling. I try to avoid all the spots they be patrolling. If we hit them blue lights, then I'm gonna have to play it smart. Cause if they smoke my shit, that's gonna be another pistol charge. Yeah, Mr. Officer, I hope your day is going well. Everything's clean, give me my license back and go to hell. Riding with that Ruger got me watching for them crooked cops. I got too much game for them lame ass rookie cops. Bust the right on range, pulled up to the Nike store. Nike's tough on going, but I'm knowing they don't like me though. I drive it off the lot, gaining speed like a cheetah. I connect them laws, take my 9 millimeter. It's better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it. I keep my 9 with me. 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 From Memphis where they rob for the fun of it. I keep the nine in my lap cause I ain't buying none of it. Finger on the trigger, extra clip right by me. Just in case you and your goons wanna try me. No time for that bullshit, my tolerance is zero. When I'm in danger, my nine is my hero. Hero, whatever's coming, I keep it in case I run up on a problem. 17 shots plus another clip to solve them. Bobbing through the mall with it all in my way. Try to test my gangster, I'ma shoot you in the face. Cock it back and point that beam and hit you with them leg rocks. Load up some hollow points and put them in your dreadlock. Once I bust a shot, who'll never stop gunning? Bust the leader off and watch the rest start running. I tried to hunt them down, but they were fast like a cheetah. I can't go nowhere without my 9 millimeter. It's better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it. I keep my 9 with me. 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 Hey, it's better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it. I keep my 9 with me. I keep my 9 with me. I keep my 9 with me. I keep my 9 with me.
Man, man, there we go. There we go. That's that shit we love from Gangsta Pat, man. That's definitely, you know what I'm saying, some hard shit right there. What's been the feedback you've been getting?
I've been getting a lot of positive feedback, man, no doubt, man. It's been all gravy, man. I'm thankful for it, man, that people still give me an ear, man, and, you know, give me a stage to stand on, man. It's a beautiful thing, and I'm very thankful for it, no doubt.
Yeah, hell yeah, hell yeah. Well, this next one we're going to play here in a few minutes, Smoking on a Pound. We played it last time you were on the show. But you was on the round table with Gangsta Nip and JT Money, man. What was that like for you to be able to chop it up with them brothers?
Man, I'm a huge fan of both of them dudes, man. I've been basically, man, following them my whole career and pretty much their whole career, man. You know, I'm a true rap fan, you know what I'm saying? And I always be a fan of them dudes, man. My eyes, they pioneers, man. You know what I'm saying? So it was an honor, man, honestly.
Yeah, that was crazy. That was crazy, man. We had another round table with Spice One. You know, JT Money was there. Marvelous. Mr. Servon from No Limit. DJ Ready Red, you know. We're going to do another one in the future, man. We want to get you on the next one, too, but... That's what's been missing in the game too, man. A lot of cats I feel haven't been connecting with each other. You know what I'm saying? They haven't been working with each other. They're doing things together like they should have been, man. And I think now's the time for us to, you know what I'm saying, build that bridge to connect everybody. Because if not, the game is gone, man. If you look around right now, it's fucked. You got these little kids. You know what I'm saying? I just saw this video. It was disgusting. These kids had it been about 12, 13. I don't know if you've seen it, but it was called Homo Thugs. And they're rapping about sucking dick, man. that's what's going on in the youth right now. You know what I'm saying? And we can't let that shit fucking happen. You know?
No, that to me that's some conspiracy shit. You know, and it's really an attack on the art of hip hop. Period. And not only that, the minorities, man. You know what I'm saying? Because see, honestly, gay people can't reproduce kids, and it's a population control issue. It's just a conspiracy all the way around. Not in a gay, in some states, giving gay people equal rights, letting them allowing them to be seen as a real couple and stuff like that, man. It's just, to me, it's a conspiracy. I ain't no homophobe. I ain't homophobic. I don't have nothing against homosexuals. If that's what they choose to do, then that's them. But they don't have to promote that shit like that, because
kids
see that shit and they don't know how to digest that shit at a young age. So for them to be making videos and shit like that about it, I think that's fucked up. If that's what you into, keep that shit in your home behind your closed doors. Don't nobody want to see that shit all flamboyant. But if people keep sucking that shit in and it becomes more normal to people, I hate to say it, man, but you're going to have a generation of homo thugs, man. Seriously, because we ain't that far from it. You know, niggas walking down the street with their ass hanging out, that's a sign of that shit right there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Then now them rapping about it, and dudes wearing dresses. You know what I'm saying? You had Dwayne Wade showing up to the game with a pink purse, women's shoes, and a women's work suit on several occasions.
Yeah.
You imagine back in the day watching Michael Jordan run up to the United Center in a skirt? You know what I'm saying? All the kids that loved Michael Jordan and respected him, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just fucked up. That's just really fucked up. You know,
I
do believe it is a conspiracy, man, to 100% conspiracy. You know,
yeah, when they get high profile people to participate in that shit like that, then you know it's coming from a higher source, man. Definitely,
yeah.
Because I don't think those cats do that shit on their own. That shit coming from somebody who has influence over them, man, and they just following orders like they're told, you know, trying to promote that shit. But like I said, I'm focused on the real motherfuckers. If that's what niggas want to do, then y'all keep that shit over there where y'all at. But I'm gonna kick it with these real niggas and these real G's, man, and we're gonna do real shit together. You know what I'm saying? For sure.
That's real shit, man. Well, I'm gonna introduce Smoking on a Pound, but before I do, I'm gonna bring my brother Six in from the Bay Area.
Okay.
He's from Harborside, man, where they got that legal herb, that good shit. I'm gonna have y'all chop it up about some herb for a minute before we introduce this song. You know what I'm saying? Yo, let some smokers talk a little bit. What up, Six?
Hey, what's going on, man? What's the heck? I just smoked out just now, so you gotta bear with me if my cadence is kind of slow right now, whatnot. But what's happening, y'all, man? But yeah, I gotta agree first off when you say that's a conspiracy, because homosexual culture is a culture of death. You can't have two men and two women just fucking each other and create something out of that. And when you target the fucking minorities and shit, it's almost like, yeah, we want to get rid of these motherfuckers. How do we do it?
Yep.
We make them all gay so they can't reproduce.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, I'm sipping on that fag juice. They all need to be smoking weed instead of be fucking around with that shit. What you smoking on now, Six?
I actually got hooked on, as much as I don't like this fucking faggot, this Wiz Khalifa douchebag motherfucker with his faggy tattoos and his little bird boy chest, he got some good weed, so I got hooked on his weed, people. This Khalifa Kush shit. Yeah, good job, you little skinny bag of AIDS. Good weed. Other than that, you know, he's a fucking lousy human. But his weed is fantastic. It's a nice little Kush, but it has a good, smooth back end. You can just kick back and ride on like an indica. Real fucking relaxing sedative shit.
Wow.
But yeah, shout out to Wiz Khalifa for looking like you're about to die in like 6 months. You're 48.
Real shit. What you smoking on, Pat?
Man, I'm actually smoking on some good light green, man. It ain't Kush, man, but it's the kind of shit that'll damn near make feeling like you on Kush if you smoke enough of it, man. So, you know, my throat kind of dry and shit.
Yeah.
You know, but that's it, man.
Well, this one's here for the smokers right here, Smoking on a Pound.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
I'm so high off this kush. I feel like I'm about to float up in the clouds and spread my wings. Things be looking so beautiful when I be smoking it loud. Eyes red, so many thoughts in my head. I'm off in another world. That Mary Jane be digging so deep in my brain. She like my other girl. I guess she got her hooks in me. I can't go a day without blowing them trees. Hydrochronic leaves be breaking me down to my knees. Give me your bag of that sticky with no seeds. And I'm straight for the night. I gotta give me a cigar. Guess who's gonna be my day for the night? Dim the lights and light up the end of that weed. We finna get high as a meat coat. I like to watch how the smoke floats up to the sky. Don't ask me why. I guess I be tripping sometime. The weed be just that fine. I'm always in search of the kush, man. And whoever got it, then that's my guy. Loud smelling, ain't no telling how many drunks I'ma smoke. I'm in hell and ain't no telling how many times I'ma choke. I'm rolling them back to back. Y'all know I'm gonna get down. And if you ready to come around,
I'll be smoking on a pound.
With my eyes open halfway, the kush be calling my name. It's got me rambling through my ashtray. Leaning for that green, I mean, I'm trembling if I don't give me a hit. I'm rolling a Vic, nothing but big buzz. They so big, they won't even be building a stick. God, nigga, I'm finna light up them low clouds. I'm smoking the air. I'm always feeling, I know I smoke too much, but I really don't care. I got to have it in my system, it's my IV. And if it ain't that kush, then I'm allergic like poison IV. And I be busting them switches down the middle with these. Then I fill it with trees, light up the ass in and inhale, and then I release the smoke. It's cousinly making me choke. I gotta catch my breath. I feel like I'm falling back to the earth, and I gotta catch myself. I'm rolling as tight as I can, man. I wish you could hit this. Pulling out another switch, so sweet, I'm about ready to split this. And up in the pivot we could light it up, hitting it past the ground. You know where I can be found.
Smoking on a pound.
Clouds and spread my wings. Things be looking so beautiful when I be smoking it loud. Eyes red, so many thoughts in my head. I'm off in another world. That Mary Jane be digging so deep in my brain. She like my other girl. I guess she got her hooks in me. I can't go a day without blowing them trees. Hydrochronic leaves be breaking me down to my knees. Give me your bag of that sticky with no seeds. And I'm straight for the night. I gotta give me a cigar. Guess who's gonna be my day for the night? Dim the lights and light up the end of that weed. We finna get high as a meat coat. I like to watch how the smoke floats up to the sky. Don't ask me why. I guess I be tripping sometime. The weed be just that fine. I'm always in search of the kush, man. And whoever got it, then that's my guy. Loud smelling, ain't no telling how many drunks I'ma smoke. I'm in hell and ain't no telling how many times I'ma choke. I'm rolling them back to back. Y'all know I'ma get down. And if you ready to come around,
I'll be smoking on a pound.
Yeah, that's that smooth shit right there, man. I remember this was about 99. I had to go down to Kentucky and get some bluegrass, if you know what I'm talking about. And on the way home, I was all by myself. I had a tape. Now, just to give you motherfuckers an idea, I still had a tape deck. I had a Buick Century. And I made a little fucking mixtape, and it had, like, High with the Blankster on there, you know what I'm saying? It had a bunch of DJ Screw shit, but it had I wanna Smoke. And when that motherfucker came on, man, shit, I was just coasting. You know what I'm saying? Motherfuckers was probably behind me, fucking 10 cars long. I didn't give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? You got a good knack for making good weed smoking music, man. Real talk.
Yeah,
that's another one right there.
appreciate that, homie. So,
Definitely a classic, man. Classic, man. But we're coming up on my favorite song so far. You know, I just started listening to EP yesterday, last night, and you know what I'm saying? My favorite track is The Master Glock, man. What can you tell everybody about that one? That's a fucking banger.
Yeah, well, you know, Memphis is known for robbing, man, and that's just my song that is just dedicated to these cats that be out here grinding like that, man. You know what I'm saying? I don't try to promote robbery or nothing like that, but it does exist. And some cats do live like that, and anything that exists to me in the streets deserves to be talked about so people can know what it is, you know what I'm saying? So that was just a song I decided to write that was just strictly about that kind of lifestyle, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely. Well, Memphis, you know what I'm saying, is a wild area. You know, you've been there pretty much, you know, on and off your whole life. How much has it changed since you were a child to 2013? Is it crazier now, or was there a certain time when it was crazier?
Honestly, man, I think niggas in the streets still the same. I think the population has grown a lot, so you got more niggas crammed up in these small hoods. You know, I think the population definitely has outgrown the city. So it's a little overpopulated in some areas. And honestly, man, I think niggas can just get a hold of guns and stuff a little bit more now. And you know what I'm saying? It's certain areas is advanced, and in certain areas it's still immature. You know, but far as the crime go, man, it's definitely advanced in that, man. It's like, but honestly, I have to say this too, that back in the day, a lot of niggas did crimes that kind of made sense, if that makes any sense. But nowadays, people just doing stupid shit. It's like they shoot niggas in broad daylight in front of McDonald's. You know what I'm saying? That kind of shit going on now. Just shit. They doing shit without even thinking about it. You know.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that has changed, man. They killing people for stupid reasons, man. Usually a real crook, if he got you and he already got you robbed, ain't nothing you could do. He'll take his shit and move on. But nowadays, niggas shooting you just to go back and brag about the shit in the hood. And it's senseless because they ain't really getting nothing out of it. I got a homie right now doing life in prison who killed a lady at a Reddit teller and didn't get number $25. He lost his freedom for his whole life over $25 fucking dollars. I could have gave him $25 and he'd still been out here on the street. So it's like niggas doing shit without thinking now, man. That's one thing I've noticed that has changed. And maybe that's just not in Memphis. Maybe that's a lot of other places too, but I noticed that change here in the city, for sure.
You know what I think of this, too, Pat? I think, you know what I'm saying, I'm not saying the case of your homie, but a lot of these young motherfuckers, they're popping these mollies, ecstasy, you know what I'm saying, all these new drugs, you know what I'm saying? They're not just smoking weed anymore. They're concocting shit, mixing shit together, and it's making them not give a fuck. I mean, we saw the cannibal dude, you know what I'm saying, off bath salt. We saw what happens when you do bath salt. You eat people's faces off. You know what I mean? It's only going to get worse, you know.
Yeah.
You got these hood chemists just concocting all kinds of crazy shit, you know.
Yeah.
It's getting fucked up.
And that's what it is. Niggas fucking with synthetic drugs. That shit ain't natural, man. That shit is chemicals, man. And it gives you all kind of hallucinations and it creates a false reality, man. Niggas think they can fly. Niggas think they can bite your head off. That's synthetic shit. But it's a trip how drug habits have changed, because back when we was in school, we'd go to the bathroom, smoke a joint, sip a little liquor, and we done with it. And we used to watch the white kids in our classroom bring their mother's prescription pills to school and pop them. And, you know, they get high off there. But it's like that shit done reversed, because it's like all my white homies, they smoking weed and drinking. And it's like all my black homies popping pills and all that. It's like this shit done reversed a little bit, man. It's crazy, man. Yeah, I'm
noticing too, people, not to cut you off, Pat, but you notice too, like you said, people are switching habits or doing this and doing that and picking up things from each other, and you know, before you know it, I mean, we're gonna be doing shit what motherfuckers are doing in Calcutta. You know what I'm saying? Who knows what they're doing in Calcutta? But it's gonna come over here. You know,
but then
again, America is the big fucking influencing whore on the rest of the world. I think, if you want to know the truth, I think we have the power to influence so much shit. I mean, you look at motherfuckers now in Japan; they're riding lowriders, and you know what I'm saying, motherfuckers popping mollies and shit, and doing all kinds of fucked up shit because motherfuckers like Juicy J. Yeah, it is, man. It is. It's fucked up. But here's The Mask and the Glock, man. This is my favorite track off the fucking EP Live from Black Haven. Pick that shit up right now. iTunes, Gangster Pat, Live from Black Haven, $3.99. If you can't afford that, man, you're deep shit. You're in fucking trouble. $3.99. Get that shit.
No doubt.
Murder, that's what I'm screaming when I catch you slipping. Politely just pop the clipping and cock it and start to ripping. I rock for a living. You see, this Glock is my resume. I never leave home without it. I told you this every day. A killer in every way. Disobey, I'll be forced to shoot. So don't play no games. You know I came just for the loot. So take me straight to the keys. I'ma take everything off your ass. He knew he was a dead man. When he see me take off my mask, I bust that bitch in his dome. Then I ramshacked his home. Got him for all he had. Then I got my ass on. Looking for another lick. I be quick to kick in your dope. Put that Glock in your face while I force you down to the floor. The element of surprise. I love that look in their eyes. When them chicks realize the Antichrist has arrived. It's about to get crucial. This is the usual shit for me. On to another victim. It's just one more lick for me.
Right there, out of the five, man, what's been the most positive feedback so far?
Number one, that put my city on, and maybe that's because most of the first feedback I'm gonna hear is gonna come from the hometown. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think I have enough feedback on it yet to judge which one got the most. But so far, put my city on. And like I said, I guess it's because people that's closer to me can relate to that record because they know what I've been through in my career. They know what I did for the city. So that's been the one for sure up to this point.
Well, I'm going to put it this way, man. The two best releases that I've heard in the last 6 months have both been EPs.
Yeah.
Yours is one of them. And the other one is MC8, Keep It Hood.
Man,
phenomenal. But both of y'all just left us waiting for more or wanting more. You know what I'm
saying?
That shit, you know, say I could see 15 of them motherfuckers in a row just banging the hell out of them. But that's what the game needs, man. It needs guys like y'all to keep making this music. And, again, I can't stress how important it is, man. And I thank you for making this shit. We need it, you know, because we don't have a choice.
Thank you for this, no doubt, definitely.
Man, but I've seen videos of you, man. You was playing I Want to Smoke on guitar. Go ahead, Pat.
That was just a prime example of what happens to you when you drink and smoke too much and you think you become Jimi Hendrix or somebody, but no, I was just into your clown around, man, and somebody said, man, I bet you can't play and rap at the same time, you know what I'm saying? So that was more of a challenge, man, and I was surprised that it even got 2,000-something hits, man. I thought people was probably going to, you know, kill me for that one, but surprisingly, some people actually said it was cool, man, you know.
Yeah, you definitely, you know what I'm saying, how long have you been playing guitar? You must have been playing your whole life because your pops, huh?
Yeah, you know, Pops always had instruments around because he was in several groups in Memphis, like the Barcades. He played with Al Green. He was Isaac Hayes' main drummer. Like, he played on all Isaac Hayes stuff, Rufus Thomas stuff, Booker T and MGs. So it's like, you know, he was in it so deep, man. It's like it was always musicians coming to the house, all kind of guitars, drums, and stuff laying around. And he would tell me, well, you know, don't mess with my guitar because, you know, I could easily break a string, but I would go mess with it anyway. And I just fell in love with it. So once I start, you know, working and making a little money, I went to the pawn shop and bought my own guitars, you know, at a real young age. And I just play them, man. I wouldn't consider myself just a great player, but I play enough, you know what I'm saying, to satisfy myself, man. But I just love it, man. A lot of people don't know I play instruments and stuff like that. And when they find out, they trip out, man. Because I don't think it really matters that much in rap music whether you play instruments or not. I think like in blues and jazz and other genres, people appreciate it, but I just don't think rap appreciates, you know, a lot of talents that a lot of people probably have, man. I don't know. I may be wrong, but that's just how I feel because nobody really never, you know, said too much about my instrument playing because I played on all my albums. I always did all my music on all my albums. So, you know, I just, like I said, it's the love of the music for me, man.
Yeah, definitely. We got a caller 651. So I believe that's Minnesota, I believe.
Hey, it's me, man. What's up, man? Skinny man.
Skinny man, what's up, skinny man? It's just brother, skinny man. How you doing, bro?
Hey, feeling good, man. Just wanted to try to catch the show, man. Just getting off work and stuff. I wanted to catch Gangsta Pat, man. What's going on, Pat?
What up with your homie? Everything good?
Man, everything good, man. Just wanted to speak to the legend, man. Man, love
hey,
your
man.
Shit. I think I talked to you one other time when you went on the show, man. And man, it's just an honor to get to talk to you, man.
Hey, man, I appreciate that, man. It's an honor to have somebody that wanted to get on here and talk to you, man. So I appreciate the love and the respect and all the admiration, homie. It means a lot to me, for sure.
Yeah, for sure, man. Your music's motivational, man. I just caught the part where you were just talking about how you play your own instruments and stuff. And I think what it is, it's true what you said because me personally, you know, I make beats myself, but you know, I'm not really big on playing instruments. I wish I would, you know. My daddy, you know, he used to play the drums, too, when I was younger, and I used to try to play on them jumps, and he would tell me stop playing on them because I might break a stick or something. But, yeah. You know, I wish it was something that I would follow up on more, man.
Yeah.
You know, so I appreciate the music that you do with your instruments and stuff and, you know, that original stuff that you do.
Oh, yeah, I appreciate it, homie, man. I appreciate you listening, man, for sure. And usually that's where a lot of people's careers start at, man, banging on somebody else's equipment or banging on your dad's stuff or your uncle's stuff, man. And at the time, they don't be wanting you to tear it up because they probably got work to do. But honestly, man, that's where you get it from, man. That's where it comes from.
Yeah.
So that music, if your father was doing music, then it's in you, man. It's in you.
Right.
And if you want to play instruments, I say go buy you a little used joint from the pawn shop, and that's where it's never too late to start playing music because, you know, you got to, it's in you, man. You got to get it out of you some kind of way. And to me, like drum machines and you know, computer programs, to me, that's, it just ain't enough rhythm in it, man. I got to feel the real vibration of some strings or hit some real keys and stuff like that. So I know where you're coming from, man, wanting to play them instruments. I think anybody who can really feel music should pick up an instrument, even if they're not a professional player, but just to feel the vibrations, because that's all music is vibrations, man. If you look at the speakers, man, they vibrate back and forth because they have some vibrations, man, and you got to feel that. You got to fulfill that need in you, man, for sure.
Definitely. Yeah. It definitely comes from the soul, man, definitely.
Oh, definitely, man. Definitely comes from the heart,
for sure. Yeah, that's real shit. Hey, online, Skinny, we got another caller. It's Six, man. If you're listening to Six, we got 510 Bay Area. What's up, Bay Area? Bay Area, you on the line? Drop the call. Okay, man. I hate when that shit happened, but it, you know, maybe just a malfunction. But no, man, you're right, man. People are disconnected from two things right now. They're disconnected from art. And they're disconnected from music. And, you know, I got my little girl painting, you know, and she messed around on the keyboard, got her Casio keyboard. But too many kids are just caught up in these video games. They need to get back to, you know what I'm saying, you know something that can bring out the natural talent that they have, you know.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so many talented kids out here, they just need somebody to pay them attention in that area, man, and help them explore that area, man. You know, that's why I try to help every young cat I come across who has that desire for music, man, because I know where they trying to go. Yeah, I used to be that cat who wanted to be involved, you know what I'm saying? But luckily I had somebody that was, you know, around me who helped guide me in that direction. And my father played a big role in my desire to play music, man. I was inspired by all the stuff he did. He took me to the sessions, took me to the shows. You know, and for a while, I was his drum tech, man. He would let me help him tune the drums, and when they doing sound check, I could get up there and play. And he was playing behind some major artists at the time, Jay Blackfoot and people like the Albert King. You know, I had a chance to get on the stage before they let people in and play around, so that helped fuel my desire, and I don't know where I would be in music if I didn't have that. And it's so many other kids that need that same thing, man, that inspiration. You know what I'm saying? I try to give it to them when I come across them, man, you know, because that's very important. Because you never know, that little kid you see, you know, that could be the next Michael Jackson or something. You just never know, man. I don't know, maybe I'm a dreamer. I just try to do too much, but anytime I see somebody that desires that feel for that music, I try to aid in the system, man, for sure.
Oh, yeah, it's real shit. Well, if he's the next Michael Jackson, let's just hope he keeps the boys out of his bed. sticks to the music.
Hey, Fred, you go hard, man. You about worth the house, sir. This bitch, you go hard, man. I love you for that.
They're going to kill me one of these days and try to, so, you know. But wouldn't that be horrible, man, to get beat to death by about 20 faggots? Jesus Christ.
Man.
I don't want to go out that way. No. I'd rather die in a zombie apocalypse than a faggot apocalypse. Well, we're gonna get turned into the rainbow deal, whatever the fuck their group is.
I would rather get jumped by five gangbangers than 20 gay dudes, because The gay dudes are trying to touch stuff that ain't got nothing to do with the fight.
Yeah, the gangbangers will just take your wallet when you're knocked out. The mother dudes will take your ass. Fuck that. Fuck that. But hey, man, I kind of don't want to go into this song right now, man, because we're talking about gay dudes. The name of the song is called Twerk It.
That's strictly strip club influence, man. That's sitting back watching them big booty cheeks pop them cheeks, man. You know what I'm saying? Every real nigga need a little bit of that in his life for sure.
Right.
Hey, you got it. I mean, you got the mask and the Glock. You got the weed. You got the, you know what I'm saying, the nine. You know what I'm saying? And then you got, you know, I put my city on. Why not talk about the strip club? You know what I'm saying? It rounded out perfectly. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
yeah. Here it is.
Yeah,
right,
that EP's going hard, Pat.
I appreciate it, man.
I got that junk yesterday.
Did you get to hear the mask and the Glock?
I heard it yesterday when I downloaded it, man. It go hard, man.
Hell yeah, man.
For real.
You heard that, folks? That's another one, man. Me and Skinny downloaded that yesterday. Get your copy, iTunes, Gangster Pet, live from Black Haven. It's only
$3.99.
And that's why I wanted to play this shit on the show, to show you guys, you know what I'm saying, how confident I am in this music. You know what I'm saying? Otherwise, I wouldn't be telling you to get it, man. But this is some hard shit. And you know Gangster Pet, if you know him, you know what I'm saying, you know his music, you know he ain't going to come with no bunk bullshit. All you got to do is go back and check that discography. You know what I'm saying? So here it is. Here's Twerk It, man, the last song off the EP, and we'll be back right here on the Murder Master Music Show.
Pull them trucks up in that ass and twerk it, twerk it, twerk it. You know I love to see you work it, work it, twerk it. The way you do it on the dance floor, you make me wanna see some more. Now pull them trucks up in that ass and twerk it, twerk it, twerk it. You know I love to see you work it, work it, twerk it. The way you do it on the dance floor, you make me wanna see some more. You the baddest in the club with a body like a superstar, superstar. I spotted you standing near the bar, near the bar, near the bar. All these niggas trying to buy your drink, buy your drink, buy your drink. I can't stop staring at that pretty pink, pretty pink, pretty. Them pretty legs and that small waist, small waist, small waist. A big ass and a pretty face, pretty face, pretty face. Can't wait to see you hit the flow, hit the flow. Bag it up, pop it then drop it low, drop it low, drop it low. And turn it over like a real freak, real. A local celebrity, you be in here every week, every week. You the queen of the twerk scene, twerk scene. I mean you better than the twerk team, twerk team. Ass jiggling with every step. You in the mirror cause you had to see it for yourself, for yourself. Booty poking out like a big bubble. When you hit the flow, the mother hoes in trouble. Hold them trouble, hold that up and twerk it, twerk it. You know I love to see you work it, work it. The way you do it on the dance floor, you make me wanna see some more. Now pull them shorts up in that ass and twerk it, twerk it, twerk it. You know I love to see you work it, work it, twerk it. The way you do it on the dance floor, you make me wanna see some more. Dang, dang. I can't believe my eyes, my eyes. You got me mesmerized with them hips and thighs. I see you popping that thing like a stripper. If we was in the pier, I swear to God I would tip ya, tip ya, tip ya. You make a nigga wanna make it rain, make it rain. You the best I ever seen in the twerking game, twerking game. You got your face down, ass up. I'm watching you so hard I damn near drop my cup, drop my cup. I'm fantasizing that we all alone, all alone, all alone. I must admit you got me in a zone, in a zone, in a zone. I'm trying to meet you if I can, can. I wanna be your number one fan, fan. The way you dance, you put on a show, show. Throwing that ass all over the floor, the floor. It's like a pornographic picture. Me and every other nigga in the club trying to get you, trying to get you in that ass and twerk it, twerk it, twerk it. You know I love to see you work it. The way you do it on the dance floor, you make me wanna see some more. Now pull them.
There you have it, folks. That's the whole EP live from Black Haven by the one and only Gangster Pat. And been in this game, you know what I'm saying, as long as the JT Money's, the Spice Ones, and just putting it down, man. That's a fucking phenomenal EP, Pat. Real talk.
Man, I appreciate that, man. Appreciate that. So.
You know, and I hope it does good. You got plans of doing any videos for it?
Yeah. Man, we actually trying to put some treatments together for that now, man. I'm going to do a video for every track on that EP for sure, man.
Hell yeah.
That's coming soon. I hadn't really done no videos in a long time because my videos came before the YouTube era. So everything that's really posted up on there, really old stuff. I'm gonna come with some new stuff, man. And it's gonna be one of every song, though, no doubt.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, I really believe, man. You know, Skinny. I'm gonna bring Skinny Man back on, and Brother Six. I really believe, man, that you're one of the brothers that can bring this game back, you know what I'm saying, to where it should be, to restore this game, you know what I'm saying? Because it's right now in life support. It's fucked up, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And I think you got the natural talent, you know what I'm saying, to do it, you know what I'm saying? And cats like Spice One. Spice is making a push right now out in the Bay. He's really getting his hustle on and putting out videos and shit. JT Money, you know, shout out to JT Money. He just got some serious management down there in Miami. He's about to do it big again. I really think, man, you can do it, man. So I wish you nothing but the best, man. Is there anything you want to say before we get up out of here?
Yeah, man. I first and foremost, man, I want to thank you, Prez, for just giving, like I said, giving me a platform to speak on, supporting, you know, not only my music, but all the legendary artists, man. It's like, wow, man. It's like you keep us going, man. You give us that breath of life that we need, man. Because honestly, man, I ain't never met a cat like you that was just really, you know what I'm saying, just pushing and motivating us the way you do, man. I can't thank you. I don't even know the words to thank you for that stuff, man. Go up there. I'm really appreciative of that, man. And I just want to thank all the people that support me. If you ever bought a Gangster Pat CD or ever took time to click on a video on YouTube and listen to my music, man, I appreciate it because without you, I wouldn't have nobody to rap for, you know what I'm saying? So I appreciate all that, man. And everybody who purchased Live from Black Haven, man, like I said, I appreciate it 1,000. That's a record. That ain't for the industry. That's strictly for the real true fans, man, no doubt. So I ain't really,
yeah.
I don't, you know, I'm hoping it blow, but if it don't, I ain't going to be mad because that really wasn't my intention for it anyway. I got a lot of emails and stuff and people wanting to hear something new. So, you know, that's for y'all, man. That's straight from the heart, no doubt, man. Other than that, man, I thank the high power, man, and that's about it, man, for sure.
And we appreciate you, man, and definitely going to support, man. Hey, a lot of these cats, you know what I'm saying, they collect the music. They collect the physical copies. Are you going to press up some of these?
Yeah, definitely. I actually just finished the back. I had the front of the artwork. I just finished the back. I just finished proofing that today. So physical copies definitely are coming, man. I'm probably going to, you know, run through CD Baby and a few other little websites, but I'm also in the streets with them, try to hit some little corner stores up, see if they'll throw something up in their window, man. I'm just going to try to grind it out, you know.
Man, we'll put it right in the store at UGSForLife.com, man. You know what I'm saying? Give me some copies. We'll sell it right out that motherfucker, too.
Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah, no doubt. Just give me an address, man. As soon as I get the hard copies back, I'll mail you a few boxes, homie. For sure.
That's what I'm talking about. Definitely. Shit, man. Thank you for, you know what I'm saying, coming on the show once again. We'll get you on another round table real soon, too. So,
man, please, man. Definitely with Spice One. That's my homie. We was on the same. We was on Triad Records together, man. You know what I'm saying? Him, Extra Large, and all those other homies, man. 187 Faculty, man, they're my homies, man. I love them dudes. I love Spice, man. You know what I'm saying?
And that goes back, yeah. He was on Triad Records before the Jive deal. Well, during, I mean, you know, Jive signed him through Triad. But
Well,
did you go out and do shows with him, or what was the you know what I'm saying, the relationship like with Spice One back then when you guys were so young?
Man, I only bumped into him a few times, but it was real brief. We never got a chance to really chop it up, but I think we also had a mutual respect for each other. I don't know if he knew how big of a fan of his I was, man, like that.
187 he wrote, that was like one of my favorite records of all time, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, like I said, we bumped heads. It was so quick and fast, but we didn't really get a chance to do a lot of shows together and stuff like that, although we was on the same label. But we was just on two different ends, you know what I'm saying? I was down south, he was out on the west, man, doing his thing. But that's one of my favorite rappers, period, man. You know, I hadn't hollered at him in a while, but, man, that's my dude. Next time he on, man, you got to put me on, for sure.
Definitely, man. I'll get you on for sure, man. We gotta make that happen. Spice, you know what I'm saying? Good dude right there. Real good dude.
Oh,
you know, Mr. Servon, of course, JT Money. But having you, Nip, and Money on the show together, that was just fucking unheard of. Can you imagine back in the day when you guys was, you know, back in 92, 93, when you guys was out, you know, touring and putting out, you know, fucking CDs? What people would have thought, you know what I'm saying? They hear the three of you guys talking. Was that the first time you ever talked to Nip?
Yeah, that was actually the first time I ever talked with Nip. But like JT, me and him chopped it up in ATL. You know, I bumped into him in Memphis a long time ago. So, you know, we kind of bumped heads here and there. But, no, that was the first time I ever spoke with Nip. I always liked Nip. I liked that psychotic shit. I always respected his music. Plus, he wrote Chucky for Bushwick and all that shit. I loved Nip. I just never had a chance to reach out to him because it's like when he left the game, he just disappeared, man. It's like I didn't really hear nothing else from him, you know what I'm saying? But I'm glad to have had the opportunity to chop it up with him, man, for sure.
That was fucking legendary, man, fucking legendary. Well, we're going to do it again. If anybody wants to get at you for features, for beats, man, what's the best way to do it, Pat?
GangsterPat.1991@gmail.com.
GangsterPat.1991@gmail.com. And definitely, you know what I'm saying, get at him at Twitter. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What's your Twitter?
It's Gangster_Pat.
Yeah, get at him. Get at him, folks. And get that fucking album. iTunes, $3.99. You can't go wrong. You heard it here on the show. You know what I'm saying? Shit, want to thank Six, you know what I'm saying? Want to thank Skinny Man, of course. That dude that called in and asked that question, don't know who he is, but thank you for calling in. The other motherfucker that called in, it was too chicken shit to talk. Fuck your mother. but other than that, y'all be safe. Y'all have a great weekend. This Sunday, I just want to say this, man. We got the legendary Jake LaMotta, going to be 91 years old, going to be on the Church of Reality this Sunday. And tomorrow, we got KFYB tomorrow. What's in the mix for KFYB, Six? That's Fuck You Bitch Radio, for those of you that don't know.
Basically saying fuck you to everybody and doing like we usually do. Like, hey, here goes old dumb face McGillicuddy. She's an old stupid bitch fucker. I might make some phone calls. We have old bitch-ass DJ Gay Sex to deal with, you know. Say a big sucker dick to him and his entire family. Your granny was a hoe, and your granddaddy died disappointed, sir. And your father also was a male hoe. He's continuing tradition. Your mother is going to die with a rag stuff up her ass because she's a useless twat. So fuck your family, friend. I'll see you on Saturday.
Yeah, we'll see you on Saturday, motherfucker. This is the Murder
Mike.
Master Music Show. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to you, Gangster Pat. You know what I'm saying? Everybody that tunes in, that supports the fucking show, we appreciate you. And everybody that don't support the show,
fuck your mother!
That is.